is that our first priority is to get intelligence from him. And as we've seen in other operations of this kind, as with Warsami, who you may remember, was also captured by our armed forces in a very professional raid there as well, that our goal is to get intelligence and then ultimately to prosecute the individual.
Well, I ask you because there's obviously this question now about whether it's a kind of legal limbo to keep him on a ship in international waters, avoiding Guantanamo on the one hand, avoiding U.S. courts on the other. Is this a set strategy of the U.S. government now?
Well, I think what it shows is a very clear strategy by the U.S. government to use all the tools, frankly, in our toolbox to disrupt threats, to go after, consistent with the rule of law, individuals who pose a threat, to get intelligence, and then ultimately to make a decision about what the best disposition is for that individual and to prosecute and hold people accountable, no matter how long it takes.
Now, one of the lingering questions in this case is, did the U.S. have the cooperation, support, and or backing of the Libyan government in the raid?
Well, Jeff, we always consult with nations with whom we have strategic relationships, as we do with the government of Libya. I think what you saw today is Prime Minister Zaidan made a statement that he values the relationship with the United States and that the United States is a supporter of the Libyan people, as we are, and we will continue to be so, to help them build their capacity to address security challenges.
I'm not sure how to read that, though. Before the raid, was there the okay or the support from the Libyans?
Jeff, I think I'm not going to get into our consultations that happen in all over the world with partners and with other governments.
And what's the situation now? There have been threats on social media from Libya and North Africa about reprisals.